Any here? Okay. All right, thank you. I'll open it up for public comment. Members of the audience wishing to address the committee on business matters or anything not on the agenda or anything on the agenda for which you cannot stay. Okay, seeing none, close public comment. All right, first item on the agenda is A1, approval of minutes for the May 21st Citizens Oversight Finance Advisory meeting. Does anybody have any updates or comments on the minutes of the May meeting here? I thought they looked okay. I didn't catch anything. All right, then I'll entertain a motion to approve as written and second. All right, Bill has approved the minutes for the May meeting. Second?
I'll second.
Homer has seconded them. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. And just as an FYI, the June monthly meeting was canceled due to the staff being present in Sacramento for the WRF financing. So that's why we didn't have a May meeting. All right. So the next item, our business items, B1, is the a brief financial update from our finance director, Jennifer Calloway. And you'll note in your agenda packet you have some information. So I'll turn it over to Jennifer, please.
Thank you. So we, as the chair mentioned, we didn't have our June meeting. The WRF staff was up in Sacramento for SRF meetings. Is that better? There you go. For the SRF meetings. So in lieu of that, we would have had a very preliminary third quarter report. So we elected to cancel that meeting. So you have that material in today's packet. We've scheduled since our last meeting in May, the budget has been adopted by the City Council. It's available online. If anybody wants a printed copy, let me know and I can print that for you and you can use your binders to hold that in. We've also done a fee study presentation to the City Council. There's community meetings on June 30th at 5:30 here in the Vets Hall and August 8th at 4 o'clock here in the Vets Hall to get some outreach and input on what those recommended fees are or the study itself. The fees will, as is, are proposed to increase. The study showed about $1 million citywide in increased fees, and that would be to become cost recovery for the fees that we currently have. Also, the community grant application period is open. If anybody knows of an organization interested in applying for a community grant with the city, the council has about $16,500 in bequests. The application is also on our website on the homepage. You can link to the policy and application there to complete. Those are due by August 30th. They can be submitted directly to me. And we anticipate taking those to the council in September for discussion. We have had our auditors on site to do our interim audit. They're scheduled to come back in mid-October to do year-end, the second part of their audit year-end. And we've received our gas tax audit. I'm not sure if anybody remembers, but the gas tax auditors were here about 2 weeks after I started with the city. And we just received the report with no findings about a month ago. So it took quite a process for them to get that through their system. But we do have a copy of that available at City Hall as well. It just says there was no findings for their period. And I think that's it.
And on that gas tax, that includes the new fuel tax increase that was effective recently as well, or was that just...
That was outside of the period they were auditing.
Okay.
I think their audit went through 2017.
Okay.
I think it was 2015, 16, and 17, if I remember correctly.
Hey, Jennifer,
are also no findings for the interim audit. Thus far, they haven't found anything that seemed out of the ordinary and expect that the outstanding audit finding from last year will be closed given what they've seen so far.
Okay.
Jennifer, could you repeat the $1 million in fees that was approved by the City Council? What fees are these now?
A good clarification. It was not approved by City Council. The City Council heard a report on the fee study it was informational only on the process that was gone through and what the study revealed. The next stage is community outreach to discuss what the fees may increase to, and we'll go back to council tentatively in late August, September, and the council will make some determination at that point as to what fees will be.
Jennifer, are you going to recommend some kind of a CPI escalation to be built into those fees when the council approves them?
Yeah, that's currently what we do, is increase by either CPI or ENR. I think the engineering index each year, depending on what the fee is. We are going to have the model that the consultant used to complete the study that we could go in and change if staffing changes, for example, or with PERS increases, those type of things. We could do something and expect to do something beyond that, but CPI at a minimum would be recommended.
And then that doesn't necessarily mean once the consultant comes back with their analysis and what the real cost of providing some of these services are, that doesn't necessarily mean council will increase them all. There may be some that they would still decide to subsidize from the general fund, correct?
That is correct. We do have a resolution right now where we subsidize recreation fees. It's a kind of a pyramid, but it's around 25%, I think, on average. We subsidize appeal fees to make it affordable for people to appeal, like a planning commission decision, for example. The recommendation for recreation is not to become full cost recovery because it's not affordable at that point and the demand is not there. So in all cases, we aren't recommending cost recovery.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions on item B1 on the brief finance update provided by Ms. Calaway? Okay. Thank you. Let's go on to item B2, which is actually the quarterly review. Not quarterly. It should be the preliminary year-end budget, as well as the fourth quarter. So this would be the period from July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. Jennifer, were you going to present anything on this? Or I know we had a lot of questions, and most of them appear to be answered, so we can go through in order.
We did. There were six questions that came in today from two different committee members. I responded to them individually, rather than as a group, since it was later in the day. I didn't want some people to have a chance to see them and not others. So maybe I should just repeat those six questions for the benefit of everybody. The two of them were related in looking for a breakout of benefit expenditures in the general fund, so PERS and healthcare from budget and estimated. My response to that is it would really be a significant amount of staff work. The benefits as a whole is one line item. There isn't separate accounts for Medicare, healthcare, workers' comp. That's not how the city has done it historically. We did pull out pension costs this year at the request of one of the committee members in making that more transparent, but we haven't done so with the others. So in order to do that, we would have to pull all of the budget worksheets for each department, determine what the individual budget items were, and then pull transaction reports for the year and break out the expenditures. So we haven't done that, nor at this point, I'm not sure it's helpful. The second part to that was, as a whole, then benefits would come in under budget for the fiscal year, and that is what my expectation is at this point. And then with respect to transfers, if the new reserve policies that were approved earlier this year included the year-end accumulation transfers, they did not. In hindsight, that would have been a great idea. So maybe when we start revisiting policies again, we can amend those to include that. The next set of questions that came in.
Can you hold there?
Sure.
Just 1 minute, please. Okay, so is everybody okay with that? It sounds like it would be a whole lot of manual labor work to go back. Even going forward, there's no automated way to do this, correct?
In the future budget cycles, we can do what we did for pension and create individual line items. I think it's too late at this point for 1920. We do have the two pension line items now. We have the normal cost and the UALs, and we have a separate OPEB line item that we budgeted this year, so we're moving towards that. And I guess we can continue to do that.
Okay. All right, good. Go ahead, proceed. Thank you.
Okay, the last three questions came in respect to the litigation, the wharf litigation project that's in requesting a transfer of about $19,000 to fund the expenditures in that project. There was a lot of questions on that and just generally what is that? So that is, the city has been served with a litigation hold, has had several threats of litigation related to this. The litigation hold specifically required us to preserve all documents that we had on hand as the date of that hold was served, dating back to inception of the project. So that's 2013. That's email records, that's anything electronically that we had, anything in paper that we've had, and that's been a significant staff effort to go around and find those, sort through old email systems and old archiving systems that we don't even use anymore. We had to purchase some software to do that. We've dedicated some staff time to doing that and to providing public records responses to those holds and those requests pretty much on a weekly basis at this point. So we elected to keep track of that separately so we'd be able to identify what the cost is associated with those litigation threats. And also these are not costs that were originally included in the scope of the project. So depending on how significant they accumulate to, we wanted to have it accounted for separately. The other question came into the transfers in for the general fund and why they were so different from the amendments or the forecasted amount in the proposed 1920 and adopted 1920 budget versus what's in the 1819 preliminary year end. Every time we do an estimate, there are an estimate in the point of time that we're looking at that. When we did the budget, I hadn't forecasted a significant amount of attorney's fees for the water, sewer, and treatment plant fund based on what we had been billed so far. At this point, I went through and just assumed we'd be closer to budget just to make sure we had everything covered. Again, this is preliminary. I expect it to change when you see the year-end results. Those numbers will be different, and we'll have more refined numbers. Part of that question was, what does attorney fees have to do with transfers? And again, that was at the request of the committee and being transparent and having one page that you could see how much we are spending as a city on attorney's fees. All of those are being billed to the general fund, and we're transferring in actual costs that are water-related, sewer-related, treatment plant-related, into the general fund to compensate the general fund for whatever we paid, the exception being the wharf related, and those are in the project just so we don't confuse that situation. But we've pulled that amount out and noted it in the budget page so it'll be transparent. And then the last question is about the $3 million reserves from the 123 versus the $126 million project. There is an indenture amount that is included in the $126 million that can be used for contingency if needed. WIFIA and SRF are more flexible on what that reserve amount needs to be for the indenture. Typically, they're 10%. They don't have to be for WIFIA. They're quite flexible, but we do need to have some kind of cash available if we run into a situation where we need to make payments. So a portion of that was what was line itemed for the contingency or for that in the rate study and that, from my recollections of those discussions. So those were the only questions that came in after we distributed answers that I didn't send out to everybody.
I've got a concern relative to your explanation about the $3 million. As I understand, the $3 million that had virtually no explanation. It was on table 7, didn't say what it was, no footnote or anything, just added. And then you got 122,807, and then it was just another line that says with reserve contingency, it says 126. That number was never used in the rate study. As I understand what it is, symbolism of that is that there is a major cash flow issue that you're going to have to deal with, a real issue. And that $3 million was in recognition that money needed to be on hand, but money to manage cash flow has absolutely no relationship with money that would be added to a budget. It's a cash flow issue. So in other words, unless, you know, unless I don't understand, and I think that's borne out with the rate study itself, there's probably 20 pages that cite the 122.807, not 126. So basically, if you're saying you're over budget by $3 million on a forecast right now, I can accept that. Because that's basically what you're saying. If your forecast is 126 now, what was in the rate study, for example, the $41 we've heard about, the $41 was based on 122.807, not 126. So is there something I'm not understanding?
So I'm not saying we're over budget. So if that's not clear, I want to be clear about that. I am not aware that we are over budget at this point. I'm trying to pull up the rate study right now so I can reference the pages. But perhaps the better course is we have engaged again with our consultant on the rate study. Now with the SRF, that's going to change many of the assumptions in there because it was not including SRF. So maybe it would be better to get clarification from him since he did that study and he can explain exactly what was included in there.
I don't believe you've had plenty of time, and everybody knows that the number used was 122.807. I could have cited the 20 pages where it's there. The 126 is only on table 7. It wasn't used. And he did not use the one. If you ask him what he used 122.807. I don't know personally why he even signed off on a document that added that $3 million on that page, or what he thought it was, or what it was meant to do. So if you're forecasting 126, the rate study, and I'll use $41, the $41 was based on 122.807, not 126. So if you're now forecasting 126, I realize you're going to redo the rate study because of lower interest rates, which may offset that. But relative to that number, I don't understand how a budget can be created that's different from what was used and approved and talked about all over with this $41, which was 122.807.
I think the project cost has always been termed $126 million. There's several documents that stipulate that. The rate study has many factors built into it. The rates presumed a certain amount of payment of cash on hand, assumed reserving the amount we needed potentially for WIFIA if that was awarded. We assumed it would be at that time, but we hadn't entered into an agreement for that. There's many different components to it. So the project budget of $126 million is the chart, the figure, again, I haven't pulled it up yet, is in there. It's in all the documents that we submitted, my recollection at least, as to what the project cost is. So again, with the consultant coming on board, maybe it would be better to get clarification from him. I'm not sure I can.
That's not my point. My point is the rate study was based on 122.807. I realize there's many, many documents that say 126, but why did somebody told the Bartle Wells to use 122.807, and that's what they used? The fact.
Okay, Bart, you've made your point. I was on that committee. I'd like to hear from Homer and John. My recollection was it was $126 million, and somehow we were funding $3 million. At that time, we had $11 million in accumulation funds. So again, that was over a year ago. Some things have changed. Homer, if you want to, I don't want to spend 20 minutes on this point, but Homer, if you or John remember anything, please.
To be honest with you, I'm still confused. Because during those several of those meetings, we had long conversations about the loan reserves and the necessity to have $3 million parked away that were the requirements of the lenders. So I've always thought the difference between the 123 call and the 126 was the cash that you always had to have through the course of the project for this, for the lender's contingency zone reserves. Where I'm confused is that when this question was asked by one of the members prior to this meeting, Mr. Leivick's response was that it was a construction contingency reserve. That was in response to question eight, answer A. So
B3.
What is the money, the $3 million, really for? Is it for a construction contingency, or is it to be sure that there's cash available to satisfy the lender's requirements? And quite frankly, I never quite understood the conversation that you and Alex were having. It was above my head about what those guys, what the lenders wanted. But that's my question. And maybe Barbara and John can elaborate.
I'm sorry, I thought it was 126, and I didn't understand all the details. And even if the $3 million has to sit there as a loan contingency, you can't spend it. So that's something 35 years down the road I'd want back. That's all. You remember anything, John?
I would have to refresh my memory on the rate study, and I haven't looked at it in a while. So sorry, I can't contribute on at this point.
Okay, but anyways, that's history. Some of us might have to agree to disagree, but we need to move on. That's, 2% of the cost. So, all right. Anything else on the questions? Jennifer, you did provide these to everybody. I believe it was item B2. I think everybody got a copy.
I provided one last night. The questions last night, but those six questions came in this afternoon, so not everybody got those answers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Before we move on, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Since you've mentioned, and the city manager has mentioned in public, that you're going to revisit the rates based on the favorable loan terms that have been received, as part of our committee's meetings last spring to keep the rates low, a number of water and non-WRF infrastructure projects were moved out of the first 5 years in the One Water Plan into the future. And the total was a little less than $11 million worth of projects, the big chunk of those being water. And a lot of those water projects were fire suppression. And I'm just wondering, when you sit down with Alex Handlers at Bartles and Wells, Mr. Leivick, will there be any conversation about the fact of maybe taking advantage of these favorable loan terms and coming up with some sort of combination of reduced rates but increased infrastructure projects beyond what was currently planned?
Well, Rob's coming up here to answer.
I'm just asking if there'll be a conversation about it.
Yeah, so while Rob's coming up here, I will say that ultimately is going to be a council choice when we come back with what new rates could be given the new loan terms and phasing in capital projects and an alternative schedule.
So the city council will have some options, I'm hoping?
We will give the council those options to choose from, whether they want it all in rate reductions or a combination of adding back in capital projects combined with rate reductions. Or adding in all capital projects.
Right. Or accelerating capital projects.
Just move the ones back in that Mr. Caceres' organization thought were very important.
Right. It's probably a combination, though. Council has repeatedly stated their primary objective moving forward is affordability. So that will be sort of guiding the discussion. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's up to council's decision at that point, and it'll be part of the conversation.
And if you recall, we do have a rate review policy now, so every year we're required to come back. That'll happen in around budget time next year after the surcharge goes into effect. So we'll have to come back and report on what we collected, what we expensed from that, and council can make determinations annually if they'd like to lower or not.
Anybody else? John?
Homer, just to clarify your question so I make sure I understand it. Are you asking, can the city use part of the loan money for the infrastructure projects that are not part of the wastewater plant?
I know they can't use the loan money, but what they can use is some of the available cash.
It would be rate revenue, that would pay for those projects. Yeah. So cash on hands and rates as they come in.
Keep in mind, John, that regardless of which number we use, the 123 or 126. The rate study only anticipated borrowing $95 million. And the rest of it was coming from existing or future cash. And that's what I'm assuming that the money would be used for. Correct?
Yes.
But of course, the city has applied for loans that exceed the $126 million in combination at this point.
We've applied for the maximum amount of loans, but these are reimbursements. So the funding agencies will not pay us for more than the project cost. And the project is the WRF project. So the facility, the conveyance system, and the injection wells are not paying for the ancillary capital projects that are were not included in those loan applications. Now, we could. They're legitimate expenses. We could apply for another, either IBank or SRF loan to fund those if we so chose, and council gave us that direction.
Okay, but you could actually receive more than the $95 million in loans that was mentioned in the rate study.
Well, only if we don't use cash on hand to fund the project.
And that's why we've re-engaged with a rate consultant, because the interest rate on the SRF is lower than we're currently earning on our cash and our investments. So it makes sense to draw on that rather than cash on hand.
And those are the options that will be presented to council. Ergo, we go this way, then we'll have more accumulated cash to accelerate capital projects or whatever is decided.
Correct.
Might be in the best interest of the city. Thank you. Anything else on the only other comment I had is, so there's no recovery on back to the litigation fund and all that. These requests, there's no charge to the citizens or anything. There's no recovery, so that's why they have to be funded out of the general fund.
The litigation charges the $18,000. They're actually funded out of the user rates because they're okay. Water, sewer related to the project.
And same for all these requests for documents and information, and so the ratepayers pay for that.
Correct.
The labor associated with that. Okay, thank you. Clarification. All right, so what else do we have on B2 that was included in the agenda packet for this is a preliminary fiscal year 2018 to 2019 staff report. Homer, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I've got a question. Why is the Recreation Department not charging a service fee for credit card processing?
We do not have a current fee set up for that on our fee schedule. Some cities choose to charge and some cities choose not to.
If I'm not mistaken, don't you charge if somebody wants to use a credit card to pay their utility remittances?
Through our, there's several ways to pay electronically. If you pay through PayGov, or I think is what it's called, there's a 3% charge that you incur, but it doesn't come through us. We don't process that on our end. It's charged directly to you. The ActiveNet that the Recreation Department uses is a different program.
Well, my personal opinion is that it's a choice that an individual makes, whether to pay cash or whether to pay for a credit card fee. And that was a pretty hefty number. And when you consider that it costs $125 to play soccer, when you're spending, that's money that could be used in the recreation. So my recommendation would be is that we do something to the city, say something to the city council, that the recreation department specifically, if they're not comfortable with recreation, at least the facilities should be paying. I mean, let's remember that at the gas stations on the circle, all of them charge for using a credit card. So I don't know why.
We were, quite alarmed at how much the fee went up to from last year to this year and the convenience fee. So our recreation manager is engaging with the provider and having discussions with those, and we certainly can share with council the concern and
come up with all that cash back you're getting.
Yes, solution.
But what do we think about making a recommendation to the city council about having the recreation department charge for
So those costs would be passed on to the person using the credit card?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, but we're subsidizing some of the fees associated with recreation in the first place. So do we do all this work to do that, you know?
Well, it's still $15,000.
Is that, is that included in your rate study, your fee study that you're bringing to the council?
I don't recall there being a chargeback.
There isn't.
I don't think there is in this draft. We could talk to the consultant about including that or include it, make a recommendation to include that.
I'd almost rather hear it from the consultant based on what some other cities do and is this normal or not, and what's the cost of modifying your system to do that if you're going to spend $10,000 to get $15,000 back. I don't know.
It would just seem to me instead of charging $125, they charge $127.50 if you use a credit card. I mean, right now, the city has two recreation fees, Morro Bay resident, non-resident. So charging, I mean, this would not be any big deal.
Well, anybody else have an opinion on that? Or
I agree with Homer. I think the city should try to plug as many leaks as it can.
Absolutely. I mean, they're, you know, that Bill? Way you, it, yeah. then you can reduce the appeals fees.
Homer, I recommend you make a motion that that be included in the memo that Barbara is going to send to the city council after this meeting with our recommendations.
I'd like to make a motion that the city council consider adding credit card processing fees for the recreation department's recreational activities and facility rental activities.
I second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I think your point's well taken, Barbara, as far as what would be the cost to implement this. I am totally in favor of doing it. That's a very standard practice for almost anything I pay bills for. But I guess the only caveat would be to include what you have and to say, is there a cost that would offset this that we're not aware of? But certainly I support the motion.
Do I need to amend the motion? Assuming, just to add the sentence, assuming that it's not cost prohibitive.
That works.
I have another question.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, we're not done with this. I don't even have the motion. Did somebody catch that motion verbatim? Oh.
So I have...
YouTube.
I have that Homer motion to add the credit council, consider adding the credit card processing fee for recreation fees and facility fees, assuming it is not cost prohibited to do so. And then we would need a second.
Yeah, Bill second.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I've got another one. I don't think this is going to go anywhere, but I'm going to give it a shot.
So it's related to the budget stuff, right?
B2? It's absolutely. Yeah. Okay, this is relating to the $250,000 transfer into the community benefit fund.
Thank you.
For the committee members that are not aware, the city has received a payment of $250,000 from the organization that's planning a wind farm. And the city council, I'm assuming at direction of staff, has decided that the money is to be parked in this community benefit fund. Please note this is a page from the adopted budget, which means that the council's already approved it. The reason I'm bringing it up is the sentence that I've highlighted, the city shall receive a one-time $250,000 payment for providing CASEL an exclusive option to negotiate the lease of the Morro Bay Power Plant outfall conduit for routing wind farm power cable to the plant and PG&E power grid switch yard adjacent, although the agreement provides CASEL the exclusive options to negotiate with the city to lease the outfall structure. That structure crosses the Tidelands Trust. And while the information above the underline, all talks about very worthwhile things. They're all things that are going to happen well into the future because it's all dependent on Castle Wynn or some other competitor securing the rights to the wind farm. In our budget, on page H40, is a discussion, is the Harbor Defund discussion, and the text reads, it is significant to realize, however, over the foreseeable future, harbor-related operation services, capital asset equipment improvements, and replacement funding needs cannot be adequately met with current revenue streams. My reason for bringing this up is that the harbor, in my opinion, could use this money now, where this $250,000 may just be parked here for years. And I realize it's all been discussed at this council level, and they've all proved it and passed it. But I would, in the sake of my friends at the harbor that are worried about those infrastructure problems, I would sure like us to see recommending to the city council that they revisit this again. And because there's no question that it has to do with a lease for the Tidelands Trust, which is the harbor. And I'm not even sure how by law they got around with this in the around this the first time. Mr. Collins, you want to?
I don't think council got around anything. They just parked it to have a discussion at a later time. So that I don't think your discussion is out of line or inappropriate, nor do I think the council action somehow violates the Tidelands Trust. What they did was say, let's put that money aside to determine how best to use it in the future. In addition, there are significant city, general fund city employees who are working very hard and tirelessly on this issue. So there's a general fund cost to seeing offshore wind development occur in Morro Bay. So I think there's easily could be an argument made that some of those funds could be used for general fund purposes. Again, that discussion hasn't occurred at council. Council just put that money aside to have that discussion at a later time. And I don't think in perpetuity forever down the road, rather soon, as the harbor department's looking into some of the projects that could be executed on short order.
Well, I was just basing my comments on what the document and the budget said. And it talks about, really good things, mm-hmm. but it all has to do with stuff that wouldn't take place until there's actually some wind farm activity.
Yeah, and it could occur prior to that too. I mean that is a planning set aside and a future discussion. And as you identify, there are quite a number of needs in the harbor department in the harbor area. And like I said, that there wasn't time to discuss it when this came forward last October. But that's a discussion that we probably will bring into council sometime soon. And it certainly could be used to further the discussion and the efforts on offshore wind development, or it could be used for immediate improvements to the harbor area. Again, that conversation hasn't taken place. It provides the opportunity to do so.
So you haven't had the conversation, would it make sense for us to, since we've already got one thing going to the city council, to recommend that they, when this does come up, that the harbor fund is taken in consideration?
I mean, you certainly can make that recommendation, though that'll certainly be part of staff's recommendation that be part of the discussion, because there's a Tidelands Trust component to it, and there's harbor needs. So that's going to be part of the context setting for council. So it certainly can come from some CFAC. I leave it to agenda to determine if there's enough latitude in the way the agenda is written for that. Or if that's too specific.
So the reason I think that you're even discussing this is because of the adjustment to move it. Literally, we were provided with a check that evening, not comfortable having $250,000 checks sitting in our office. So we deposited it immediately the next morning without having a fund set up, and had to put it in the general fund as a holding until we got the right fund structure set up for that, and then are transferring it into that. So that's why it's on this report. there really is a there's a legal review as to how much, if all of it, is dedicated to the harbor or not with respect to that. So that's just a discussion legally we have to have and share with council. And I'm not sure. You can certainly make a motion. I'm not sure if it's necessary. And I can assure you your harbor director is well aware of wanting this money.
That's the reason I brought it up. Anybody have any thoughts on this at all?
I think it's premature, Homer. I agree with Scott. You know, there's a lot of costs that the general fund's incurring, and this is going to be a multiple-year project that those costs could really add up. And to spend that money on the harbor and then cut the general fund short, I think would be a mistake.
Oh, that's fine. I just thought I'd give it a shot. I started the whole thing saying it wouldn't go anywhere.
Well, I would encourage you to be more positive. However, I do agree. I'd like to learn a little more about it. And maybe if nothing else, we've planted the seed here that you would keep us informed. And when you do, the staff get some more information, you know, maybe pass it to us first. And we'd be happy to render an opinion before you take it to council.
Sure. If it's something that likely would be included in a budget adjustment, should we come to some conclusion as to legally what it can be used for, and there's a recommendation, and you see those before it goes to council, if it's outside of the budget process in general. So,
okay. I think that's a reasonable compromise. Thanks for bringing that up, Homer. Did anybody have any other questions on the budget or other than what was sent to Jennifer ahead of time and answered?
We just have any questions now or comments?
Either, yeah, questions. I would start with the questions, I think, first, yeah. Dave, Bill, anything? Comments?
I do. Jennifer, when I first saw that you were doing or requesting our recommendation on budget amendments after the fiscal year ended, I was a little bit confused. I've never seen that before, so I asked a couple of questions about that. And it seems to me your main concern is that the auditors would render a finding, a negative finding, if there's an excess of appropriation or spending in excess of appropriation. But then I looked at the details of what you're asking for, and it's pretty much amendments to revenues and amendments to transfers, and there's like two items that are expenditure increases. So you're not really asking for more money for expenditures. But I did want to mention something to you that this is something that you're well aware of, and the auditor should be also. That the legal level of control in the budget is the fund level, and that's mentioned both in your budget documents and also in the CAFR. The auditors say the very same thing in the CAFR, and yet then they make a finding that lists three different categories in the general fund that were over budget, even though the general fund as a whole was $400,000+ under budget on expenditure. So the auditor is wrong to do that, and I think you should contend with the auditor if they try to do that to you again. There's no shame in arguing with the auditor if they're wrong. So I just want to encourage you to do that. I'm still a little confused with bringing this after the fiscal year. So my assumption is that the reason this is happening is because of the fact that there wasn't enough time during the budget season and you didn't do the third quarter comparison and that kind of thing. Is this going to become a regular annual event that these amendments are brought to the council after the fiscal year ends, or is this a one-off?
So this is the only place, with the exception of one time in Sonora, that I've ever even done a third quarter budget update. You are typically involved heavy in budget at that time and don't have capacity to do that. We did commit to doing quarterly reports for the committee. When we was trying to get this ready for the June meeting before we were canceling, it was, you know, rushing at the last minute to try to do it, and I didn't think we were doing a very good job with it since it was a rush. We canceled. I pulled up the July meeting from last year, and interestingly enough, on the July meeting in 18 was the third quarter budget update. I think it's a matter of timing with budget and capacity to do everything. You will get a year-end budget adjustment with carry-forwards for projects that maybe didn't get fully expensed and have run into this year. And some, you know, outstanding things. As I mentioned, we have 60 days before we actually close the books that we're getting invoices in. The PO system helps with that to some degree, but there's payroll accruals, there's, you know, some other things that we aren't necessarily able to capture. So to the extent that we can true up the budget and it's transparent to bring it to you, I think there's some value in that. Whether or not the auditors comment on it and it's right and wrong, you know, I think that's a different conversation. But from a transparency standpoint, we want to be clear with what we're requesting, especially when we're moving money out of the general fund into these other funds like economic development. That was essentially approved with the budget, but we do have unspent money in 18-19 that we would like to put in that new economic development fund to continue with the wayfinding project.
Okay. So if it's really a matter of housekeeping, then I suppose it's okay. But if it's a request for additional appropriations after the fiscal year has ended, then I think that's really wrong because the council doesn't have any options. I mean, typically when you bring a budget amendment to the council during the year, they have choices, right? But then once the fiscal year has ended, there are no more choices. They are being presented with a take it or leave it, increase the appropriations or else we're over budget. And I think that's just a bad practice if that's what you're thinking about doing.
Yeah, well, isn't what I'm thinking about doing, but there would still be some choices. So some of our transfers are to vehicle replacement, for example. There's, I think, $50,000 budgeted to go into our vehicle replacement fund. If we were in a situation after we closed the books at the end of August and we're going to be short revenues, short of expenditures, we could choose not to make that transfer into vehicle replacement and make that recommendation. When we get to compensated absences and have a better idea of what may or may not need to be transferred to meet our reserve levels for there, we could make some recommendations on that. And as you know, vehicle replacement particularly rolls up in the general fund. So from a fund level, the auditors look at it as the same. But we would want to be transparent if we aren't going to make that adjustment for some reason. So, I mean, there is some cases that there would be minimal choice on behalf of council.
Any other comments or questions on the budget? So, Jennifer, you're in general agreement with some of the suggestions that John has made.
Absolutely. Those, and then I know there was a question or statement comment that came in that I was supposed to include the adopted budget as originally adopted as well as an amended column.
Yeah.
We try to set these up as templates so each year it should get easier and be more efficient. And in doing this, I just had forgotten about that. So I will try to make a note and remember to go through and modify all the templates to do that.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion on item B2? If not, we will close that and proceed to business item B3, which is the report and update on the WRF, the Water Reclamation Facility Capital Project. Update report. I think we have that on the screen.
Yeah, I'd like to start out and make a comment. I think the City Council and certainly CFAC is certainly inundated with a lot of work. And the need to have a monthly report, I don't think, is necessary, but rather just a quarterly report. Part of it here, the CFAC, we saw a May report, which was the quarterly report. We never saw the June report, which was the May report, until now, which is pretty redundant with the information that's in the quarterly report, which is a very good report. And I think it would save money. It'd be less cost for Corolla in putting these reports together. It would save staff time and would certainly save us time. And more importantly, would allow us to focus more diligently on the quarterly report. So today, I recommend we just proceed right to the quarterly report and not spend any time on the May report unless someone really wants to go through things that are clearly covered in the June or the quarterly report.
Thank you, Bill, for that comment. Any other opinions or thoughts on that?
Since Bill's managed some significant project, and I never have, I'm going to defer to Bill's recommendation.
Okay. Yeah. Bill, thanks you. Yeah.
I have a written motion that would recommend in our report after this meeting that we submit a report, formal report, as is required by the rules of the CFAC to the City Council, and the recommendation would be that we eliminate monthly reports and only, at least my recommendation is the motion in the summary email to the CFAC will send to City Council. I move that the CFAC and the City Council receive on a quarterly basis a summarized schedule of significant milestones. I'm sorry, I move the city establish. Wait a second. I have too many of these. In the summary email to the CFAC will send to the City Council, I move the WRF project stop distributing monthly financial reports and instead distribute only quarterly reports. Should I read that again?
I'm going to have, if we do anything, I'm going to have you guys send it to me.
Here, I have copies.
Or copies, that's even better. Circle the one you want. Yeah, okay, thanks. Is there
any discussion on that? Someone, yeah. Is there a second even
I can understand, Bill, why you're saying for us to get quarterly reports, because I think there's a lot of substance that we can comment on relative to quarterly, and they haven't been very timely anyway. I mean, they are reviewing things, as I understand, like weekly on the schedule. But I'm not sure that we should be telling them how to manage their work.
Well, it's an advisory committee, and we do have people that have a lot of experience in managing large projects. And I would imagine I'll speak for Rob Leivick and Eric, they look much more frequently than monthly if they're actually managing the project, which I know they are. And so let's not have them have to put forward a monthly report, just a quarterly report, which will save everyone time, some money, and allow us to focus in a little more depth on some of the questions that we will have when we talk about the quarterly report.
Just make one addition. Since it's been made very clear that the actual project manager for this project is the city manager, and I'm assuming he meets with the project team frequently,
oh, yeah.
Any issues that would need to come to the city council on a monthly basis, I'm sure the city manager would bring forward.
Yeah.
Okay,
Scott,
so.
Maybe you can even comment. Is my idea stupid, or do you think it's... has some value.
Since we don't have somebody jumping to make a second, can you make some comments, or are you already required to do this anyways for funding or anything?
Can you actually make a motion?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would typically we have motions after presentations and public comment, but mm-hmm. I understand that the point that's being expressed, particularly when you have a monthly report and a quarterly delivered at the same time. That monthly report was delivered to City Council on time last month. So the quarterly report is delivered to this group on time. Just want to clarify that. And then second, if CFAC so desires to only receive quarterly reports, that's an excellent recommendation to make to City Council for them to take up. But City Council, at least at this point, will be reviewing the monthly reports and the quarterly reports until such time they determine that's not necessary.
Yeah, my motion was certainly to delete the requirement to deliver monthly reports and tell the City Council that they can disagree, and you all may disagree, but it just, if we have a second, or it'll just die.
I'll second it. That's motion number one, correct?
Right. It's motion three.
No, motion three. So let's just go to some discussion, and we may have to modify that motion. So first of all, in the summary email the CFAC will send to the City Council, I want to discuss that first. What is it we're on the hook to do, and is that the right venue that we should correspond directly to City Council? Or I'm a little
I think the phrasing or the terminology is that in the quarterly report presented to the City Council, staff will share the recommendation of the committee to reduce reporting quarterly and instead of on a monthly basis. Yeah. I think we can include that in our staff report with the quarterly report.
So what am I supposed to put in this summary email? It says the CFAC will send to this. Am I supposed to do a summary email?
We could do an amended motion. The maker could amend his motion to reflect that it will be in staff's report to the City Council.
Okay.
And the second would have to agree to
and
that
amendment.
And it
would include that other motion we talked about as well. Okay.
Well, I still think that you should write something and send it to the City Council in hard copy form. On the processing fees, and then depending on how this turns out. And can I?
That is in the city, our purpose and authority of the advisory committee. It says at least semi-annually we're supposed to be sending reports. And why not periodically be sending a report when we have recommendations to the council? It should come directly from CFAC. Certainly the staff report can do the same thing, but if we send that, we're fulfilling our responsibilities.
So typically, I think that the reporting back has been the chair coming to council and reporting on activities through the year, including the year-end activity or the year activity in Measure Q. I suppose if you wanted to write a memo, we could attach that as an attachment to our staff report.
Okay. So I can write a memo, but I'm going to ask these guys to send me exactly what their motion is, because we've amended it three times. So I don't want to be writing a letter to council that I'm not clear on what it is we, have.
I would suggest you hear the item, and then at that point, after there's public comment, after your discussion, restate the motion,
okay,
have the formal vote, and then include it in memo and or staff report or both.
Fair enough.
But at a minimum, for today's meeting, we should dispense with the May monthly report.
Up to the committee. By consensus, it seems like that's...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that. Okay. Is somebody going to present something, or are we just going through questions on that?
Eric Caceres is going to come up.
All right, welcome, Eric Caceres, the program manager. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, committee chair, members of CFAC, Eric Caceres, the city's program manager for the WERF. I have to confess that I did kind of beat you to the recommendation to just cover the June report. That's what this presentation focuses on. So as was mentioned previously, the reason why those two reports came together is because there was no CFAC meeting last month. So I did receive about 15 or 16 questions. Answers were provided to those questions yesterday. Mm-hmm. So if there's still some questions that you have in regards to what was sent previously that aren't adequately addressed in this presentation, please let me know and I can cover those as we go through here. So again, what we're asking today is that you receive the June 2019 monthly status report, i.e. the quarterly report for Q4 of fiscal year 18-19 for the water reclamation facility project, and provide your feedback. So, and this goes back to what was just being discussed in terms of the monthly, quarterly reporting. This is just an overview of how we are reporting to CFAC, WERF, CAC, and Council. So the previous determination was made that we would prepare a single report on a monthly basis that would go to CFAC, WERF, CAC, when there are WERF, CAC meetings and Council. The monthly meetings, and I provided a schedule in the response to the questions in there for what you can expect for the upcoming fiscal year and subsequent fiscal years after that. So the monthly report is the quarterly report. So every quarterly report kind of sets up the next 2 months of monthly reporting. So the quarterly report, as everyone pointed out, is really the more robust report. And really what we're doing on a monthly basis on the non-quarterly months is we're just looking at the expenditures that were made during that month and the cumulative expenditures. So what we're doing on the actual quarter is we're actually going in and looking at the budget, and based on percent completes, what's been expense to date, any new project information that's come to light, we're going ahead and then reforecasting what the actual budget is for that next quarter. And then what we do on the annual basis, which we're on the annual basis now, the end of the fiscal year, is we re-baseline the budget, meaning we come up with a revised budget that we then use for the upcoming year to report against. So I'm going to go over what the different budget numbers that have been used throughout the course of the project and where we are currently today. I'll get to that here in a second. Just a couple of big takeaways. This was something that was mentioned during the last CFAC meeting. Was when we came back and gave these quarterly presentations, there were a couple of different items that people wanted to just know right offhand. And one is the project on budget. And the answer to that is yes, the project is on budget. Our new rebaseline budget for the upcoming fiscal year is $126 million, which is in line with the $126 million that was used in the rate study for the development of the rate surcharge. So that's how we sit in terms of budget. And we'll go into that in a little bit more detail here in a second. And then in terms of schedule, there are several major elements of the project that are behind schedule. So did want to mention that, and we go into a little bit more detail later in the report or in the presentation on those specific elements, why we are behind schedule in regards to those different elements, and what we're doing to course correct to try to bring us back onto schedule. But the big takeaway is that the overall project is currently on schedule. So just bringing this back to the city is doing this project under the guise of a time schedule order that was issued by the regional board last June. That time schedule order requires the new water reclamation facility be up and running and be producing water that is full secondary treatment in accordance with the city's new permit. And that date is February 28th of 2023. The current schedule has the completion of the water reclamation facility, substantial completion. The facility is up and running. It's treating water to the level required by the new permit by the end of November of 2021. So that's where we currently sit in terms of the overall project schedule. So while there are individual tasks that show as being behind schedule, which they are in accordance with the baseline schedule, the overall project schedule is not in jeopardy. So as I mentioned, I wanted to go over the budget history and just give folks a little bit of insight into how the budget has morphed and changed since the budget was established last June 2018 and what went into the rate study. So as was mentioned previously, the $126 million budget was the basis of the rate study, and that's where we have currently been over the last roughly 4 or 5 months since we started producing the monthly report. That's what we've been benchmarking ourselves off of, is $126 million. At the end of Q3 18-19, we took a look at the budget, and we looked at the budget and said, based on the information that we currently had in front of us, what had been expended to date, the percent completes, the most updated project information. We had taken a couple of project elements and merged those together and changed a little bit how the project was being delivered. We were looking at somewhere closer to $124.6 million. So that was what was presented in the previous quarterly report. Since that time, there have been a couple of different things that have come to light that have caused us to bring the budget back in line with $126 million. And I'll go over those elements a little bit. They were discussed in the response to the questions. They're also discussed specifically in the quarterly report, and I'll go over those here in a second. So again, this is the 2018 rate study. This was our Q3 budget reconciliation number that we brought to you back in April, which would have been for expenditures through March. And then this is the 19-20 baseline. So this is our rebaseline budget that we're going to be using and reporting against for the next 12 months. So why is the new baseline budget back up to our $126 million? So there's roughly about a $1.4 million change between where we were sitting, where we thought we were going to be sitting about 3 months ago, and where we're currently sitting now. So again, number of different elements have gone down in cost, and a number of different elements have gone up. So I'll just give an overview of some of the highlights. For the water reclamation facility in particular, we reduced the budget that we're carrying forward for construction management costs. Those are the costs for the program manager to manage that project. That is in light, that is really has to do with our selection of staff that are going to be doing that work and doing a forecasting and looking and seeing what that what we think that effort is actually going to be. So that's a line item that's gone down in cost. We've actually reallocated a little bit of money back into contingency. At the end of Q3, we had taken $2.5 million of our contingency and moved that into the actual project costs. We only ended up approving $2 million of that contingency. So the remaining $500,000 moved back into contingency until such time that the city council takes action and moves anything else into the project budget from contingency. Another thing that we learned is we increased our budget for the purchase of the Tri-W site based on preliminary information that's come back from the appraiser. We wanted to increase that budget accordingly, so we've moved some budget into that line item. Some of the more significant items, one of them in particular, as you may know, we're doing some follow-up environmental work, did some additional wetland delineation work, and identified a design challenge that we have for the conveyance pipelines on the bike path at Willow Camp Creek. So we have had to make the determination that we're going to be doing a trenchless crossing on the bike path that we didn't previously anticipate. So the rough order magnitude cost for that right now is about $1 million. So we've moved about $1 million into the overall construction cost for the conveyance facilities itself. The design engineers also identified the need for additional potholing that wasn't included in their design budget and wasn't included in the program budget previously. So that's another item that we've brought into to the tune of about $100,000-$150,000. The recycled water facility is really minimal changes there. Aren't a lot of big changes there. In terms of the general project cost or the program budget, a couple of items have been added. We anticipate that the next amendment that will come in front of City Council for our budget will include an outfall management plan. That's something that wasn't previously anticipated and budgeted. It's something that we've added in. It's actually one of the special conditions that's required by the coastal development permit that the city recently received from the Coastal Commission. So that's something in there that has a magnitude to it. And then we've got some additional forecasted budget in terms of routine meetings and some of those other general program costs. We have some additional environmental costs that we've had to add in for some additional environmental work that we've had to do to accommodate the requirements for the funding agencies. So all of these things together have taken our $126 million budget and that's what really that's where we really sit today. Let Mr. Levick.
Eric, do you have copies of these charts that would be available to us, or are they posted online someplace? Or these are really
these
just
are all,
excerpts
all,
right
all,
out of the
most
report.
Of these are excerpts from okay. Yeah, with the yeah, pretty right. Much everything that I'm presenting here is an okay. Excerpt from the quarterly report
like
itself.
You have this.
Oh, I also have a copy of the presentation that I provided, before the meeting. One of the items that's featured at the beginning of every quarterly and monthly report is the key accomplishments and challenges table. A couple of things to note in terms of challenges, and these are challenges that we've brought to both council and CFAC's attention over the last couple of months have to do with some of the schedule delay issues. Really has to do with property access issues that we've recently been able to overcome. And essentially what this has done is it's just pushed out some of the schedule for the conveyance facilities project as well as some of the environmental work that we're currently doing. And then again, I'll get into that a little bit as we talk about the specifics of the schedule.
Just a question on schedule. The project overview, there's some words in here that talk about in order to get the WIFIA and the WRF funding, we need to have acquired the property.
Correct.
That is true. So that before we can start construction.
Correct.
And so all that is expected to happen so we can do construction or groundbreaking in September.
Correct. So there's essentially three items that we need to complete before we can start construction, and one of those is the purchase of the property and the acquisition of the easements that we need in order to build the project. So that's number one. Number two is we have to get through the environmental review for the Clean Water SRF program. So they have some specific requirements there. We're not going to be able to wait to have a signed loan agreement with the state revolving fund before we start construction, but they have changed their practices a bit, which is great, and we can start construction before we have that loan agreement. But we need to get a sign off from their environmental team that they've completed their environmental review, and that means consultation with the State Historic Preservation's office, consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and some other items that we're currently in the thick of right now. So that needs to get done. And then the third item is we have to have a signed loan agreement with WIFIA, which we're getting very close to that. We've created the corporation the city needed to handle the debt in the last month with the city council, and we're also working through and finalizing the terms on that WIFIA loan agreement. This is a little bit hard to see up on the projector, but is easier to see in your packet, which is our dashboard. So there's five key performance indicators that come up every month and every quarter, and the takeaways are there. Now, one of the questions that was received in regards to the quarterly report had to do with the status for items 1.2 and 1.3. And so we show a significant budget overrun in one element of the project and a large decrease in the other. Again, that goes back to some of the changes that have been made to the project and how they're going to be delivered and how they're going to be packaged. So that issue will go away when we bring to you the next monthly report and the next quarterly report, because we'll re-baseline the budget. So the new baseline budget will be $126 million. It'll just be broken up a little bit differently, and it'll be broken up in accordance to how the project is currently shaping up. So that's really the biggest item to note there. A couple of other things to note, as I mentioned, the last quarterly report, we debuted the schedule performance index. So we provide a schedule performance index, a value of 1 as the project is on schedule, less than 1 the project is behind schedule, over 1 the project is ahead of schedule. Based on the aggregate of all the tasks that we're currently doing, we show the SPI as being 0.86. Another thing to note here is item number 2, which is earned value. We've talked about reporting earned value. That is a little bit of a challenge, as we've talked about before, for the total program, because we have city cost, we have our design build, which is a guaranteed maximum price. So it makes it a little hard to do. And so the compromise that we've got is we report earned value on the program management work itself. And currently the CPI or the earned value is 1 point, right around 1 for our current effort.
Eric, could you clarify some terminology? We have item 1.4 is called general project costs. On a previous page, we talk about general program costs. What's in general program costs versus what's in project management costs? I had thought project management costs were Corolla, other contractors, and city, but that probably is not right, because I imagine most of those costs are dispersed in the three other elements. But if you could help clarify that.
Yeah, I will say this, general program and general project are synonymous. That is a typo. It should be general project. We had a little bit of an identity crisis early on last year, and is this a project or a program, when we've settled this is a project. So anywhere you see program, other than the program manager, I guess, that should read general project. So the general project costs for this project, they include essentially the $5.1 million that was spent prior to March of 2018. So when we came on board last April, that was the cost expended through, that would have been expended through Q3 of last fiscal year. And so we came on board and sat there and said, okay, the $5 million has been spent to date. All of that's going against general project because it was general planning and everything else. The remaining of the to get to the current projected budget of $11.8 million is essentially the work that we're doing around project controls, environmental, all these different things. And so I believe I provided a breakdown in the response to questions of our portion of that general program cost, or excuse me, general project cost, and the remainder that was made up of either other consultants that are contracted directly with the city, other members of the technical team, and or that category also includes things like legal, staff costs, and those items.
So nowhere is, say, Corolla cost broken out separately, the totality. It was $292 and another $2 million plus the next option when it gets executed should be another $5 million. So somewhere it's going to be about, what is it, about $8.3 million total will be the Corolla cost. That's never shown anywhere.
That's not currently broken out anywhere in this report. Yeah, because we essentially the program costs or the program manager's costs are reflected in pretty much all the categories. So obviously, as I mentioned here, the general project bucket includes things like program controls, but we also have construction management that falls under or under the program manager or under Corolla. That construction management cost is reflected in each of the individual line items for each of the individual projects. So there's a separate budget for construction management of the conveyance facilities project. There's a separate budget for construction management for the water recycling, or excuse me, water reclamation facility project.
Go ahead.
Another question that was that came up in the questions that were responded to in regards to the quarterly report is the cash flow projections. So again, the gray line represents the $126 million budget that was put forward and it was the basis of the rate study. The blue line being what has been expended to date, and then the dashed line being what's projected to be spent. Is where we are currently sitting, and it will be our new baseline moving forward. So one of the questions was, why do we continue to show this gray line? Well, this gray line is going to be essentially replaced by the blue line. So that blue line will become gray and as we move forward, and then we'll be tracking this next fiscal year against that new baseline. So that'll hopefully... again, it's important to remember where we came from, and we will always include in all of the quarterly reports the previous budgets in every quarter where we do budget reconciliation, and at the end of every fiscal year where we do a budget rebaselining, those numbers will always be presented. But this graph here will only show kind of the rebaseline number. So you're only going to see two curves on this graph. I think there's enough going on there with just two curves. Expenditures to date. There's a summary of expenditures to date that have been included in the quarterly report. This is something that we report on. It is essentially the main table that we update on a monthly basis. So once we finish our quarterly report, so the quarterly report that we're doing now for Q4, really what the effort that we're going to be going through for July and August is really looking at essentially what we do is we take all of the invoices that have been received, reviewed, and approved for all of the various technical teams that are involved in the project. We take and we look at those and we do an accounting of those and say, okay, here are the ones that have been received. So here's the we update the cost that's been spent to date. We also work with Ms. Calloway and we get an update of the city's costs for that month, and we update every single month. And so the current cost that's been expended to date, essentially against the consultant contracts that the city currently has, is 9.4. So since the city began tracking charges for the project in 2013, a total of $9.4 million has been spent on essentially, you know, non-city costs. The total, including the city costs, including including legal, analytical costs, city staff, and other miscellaneous expenses, is right around $11 million. So that's currently where we sit in terms of total expenditures. This is the schedule overview. we went through some growing pains the last couple of months with the schedule. I hope that with this updated schedule format, again, it's a summary of a much larger schedule, obviously, but we've broken it down to the major task elements, showing the planned progress in blue and the actual progress, or excuse me, in light blue, and the actual project progress in dark blue, and then also including the SPIs for each item. Hope this is a little bit clearer to read in terms of where the different elements sit in terms of their progress and where they how they are measuring up to the baseline itself. So as I mentioned previously, the overall project SPI is a 0.86. We want to get that back up to 1, and so we've identified a number of schedule recovery strategies. So in regards to the schedule items or the tasks that are currently showing as behind schedule, I want to highlight four of those. One is the hydrogeological support, task 3. This is an element that, again, this is going to be a little bit of a recurring theme. This goes back to some of the issues that we've had with the with gaining access to the Vistra with previous Dynegy property to be able to get on site to do the necessary work that we need to do to be able to evaluate the west injection location. So that's something that we're currently working through. We're actively negotiating with them to get on site and be able to do that work, hopefully expedite that work and get back to on schedule for the hydrogeological work to support the injection process. In terms of general permitting, we've had a little bit of a lag here, and the reason why we're showing is behind schedule on this item is we need to submit a permit application to California Department of Fish and Wildlife for the crossing of Morro Creek. We haven't been able to progress the design of the pipe bridge that's going to go over Morro Creek as much as possible because we had some delays accessing different property sites and getting survey done and everything else. So again, we are over a lot of those issues for the conveyance facility, so we're going to try to fast track the conveyance facility's design to get back on track and to submit that application to CDFW. Potable reuse permitting, task 6. We're moving that forward as quickly as possible. We had anticipated being a little bit further along with what's called the Enhanced Source Control Program. I won't get into a lot of detail there, but that's something that we've put some additional resources behind to try to get that back on schedule so we can get that overall task back on schedule. And then funding, the previous baseline schedule had anticipated that we would have had a signed loan agreement by now with WIFIA. That's just taking a little bit longer. We're running a couple of months behind, but again, it's something that is top of mind in terms of getting that done because we need to do that to get into construction. Again, the recommendation is that you receive the June 2019 monthly or quarterly status report for the WRF and provide any feedback. And that's my presentation.
Thank you, Eric. Any further questions?
Yeah, Eric, would it be possible to put together, besides these kind of charts that are difficult to really understand, just put out of project management the specific milestones? I mean, there's a way to go put a one-page summary of specific milestones and have milestone dates in some level of indenture, not multiple pages, but just something that gives you people a highlight. Yep, we've started construction. You know, we've ended up building the first building or laying the first pipe, things like that, as opposed to just a bar chart that just doesn't seem to give much meaning to me anyway.
Okay. No, that's a good point. I believe that comment was made either by your group or the City Council previously. And what we did do is if you look at the report under section 4.1, we did include a project milestones table. This project milestones table is from the time schedule order. So we can include more milestones, less milestones, but that's kind of a good, that's kind of the regulatory milestone schedule that we have. So all of those items, we've got to report to the regional board on a quarterly basis how we're progressing towards meeting those deadlines.
Yeah, I saw those. It would be nice to have specific construction milestones and actual progress milestones. These are more event-type milestones that 4.1 shows, which okay. are very important, of course.
Along those same lines, in one of the other meetings, you had said there were 524 line items being actively managed. At that point in time, I think about 370 of them were already history. So it's if that's your definition of actively managing, we have different definitions. There were about 30, 40, whatever, line items that probably are being in the near term. Obviously, some of those have been missed, which is why the schedules are behind. And so what I would like to see personally, so we don't have to create anything new, and I can't believe that it's not what you're looking at on a weekly basis anyway, but that would be to see the slice of items that are not completed and whether or not you cut off in the beginning of 2019 or June of 2019, you know, somewhere in there, and have a percent complete for the document you already have. So in other words, we could just see what are those scheduled items. That would take what was a 15-page document down to about 5, and given that we'd be looking at the near term, we're looking at now 20 to 30 items, which presumably would include those you just went through. It was very difficult for me, quite frankly, to follow that. If I could see the schedule, which I presume those items probably now have been added to it, because some of those weren't known that they were significant at the time the schedule was made. That's kind of the evolution of schedules. But if we could see that, and I think then that would have the milestones that Bill is talking about. And it doesn't mean that you have to create anything new. It just we literally could see the detail on a quarterly basis of where we are. So as you would have gone through those items, we could go, oh, okay, I see it. I couldn't follow, really, quite frankly. Maybe others are a lot quicker than I am, what the issues are, schedule, other than I see that we're behind. And then when I look at the main chart, the reason I've got a concern in general, you're going to re-baseline it. I had asked whether or not it was created by Nunley or by you. I was assuming it was Nunley. Mm-hmm. But even if you go to where it was started, the starting point, and I don't know if you guys came on in September of 18 or thereabouts, but the blue line should have been equal to the gray line at that point, because what was spent would have been, in fact, the same, and they're different, which I don't follow. I mean, literally at that point, you were together, and what this shows is that from the time that Corolla was brought on till now, in a year, you slipped a year, because that's what the horizontal distance means. From the cumulative baseline budget, that's in effect a schedule, to where we are now. Those are, quite frankly, it's a where are you spending money per a schedule, and we've slipped over a year in a year. So I think seeing some more detail relative to the schedule would be appropriate for us to see as an advisory committee.
Sure. I can respond to that. So the gray line represents the budget that was developed by Corolla in May of last year. So right after we came on board, very quickly we came up with a budget in order to support the rate study. And we didn't get everything right. And the blue line represents where we are in the end of Q3. That was the reconciliation that we did at the end of Q3. So there's a fairly large period of time between when the gray line was developed and when the budget reconciliation was done and what's represented by the blue line. So I will say that the schedule difference is not 12 months. It's closer to 6 months in terms of what was assumed, what was anticipated for the substantial completion of the project versus the current anticipated substantial completion for the project. But both of those budgets, both of those lines were developed by our team. The blue is more accurate. The gray was a little bit overly optimistic, but for good reason, because we wanted to make sure that we front-loaded the cash flow a little bit, because that was the basis of the rate study. So better to be a little bit more conservative, front-load the cash flow a little bit, so that when Mr. Handlers from Bartle and Wells put together his rate study, we weren't anticipating a faster spend than what we actually saw. So.
Okay, and then relative, I think, Bill, on this, so we document this to make a motion that we would like, I mean,
Okay. I believe we would like to see on a quarterly basis.
It's motion number one. You know, just obviously being an airplane guy, I know you put a chart together and we all follow me. We are everybody all the way up to the Department of Defense. When you have a preliminary design, a PDR, when you have a CDR, when you're finished some stress analysis, and there's significant events when you're building a house, when you finish the frame, when you finish roofing, when you finish plumbing. I mean, things that we non-people familiar with WRFs could appreciate by seeing when these events are scheduled and how we're doing to get there. And the SBI is a good term that you use to show progress. But then, yep, we've done it. You know, we've now finished. You know, sort of like you're 60% complete, 90% complete. But I don't know what the right answer is, but I would think that would be helpful. And what would be helpful to Scott, certainly what would be helpful to the City Council, make it easier to get confidence, yes, we are really making progress, as opposed to, yep, we're really spending money. And we're spending money on the past, just to put some more context to it.
Okay. Yeah. So our team on a weekly basis goes through essentially all the open line items together with our scheduler, updates the percent completes, and updates the anticipated start and end dates depending on what's going on. And that's what goes into the development of this rolled up schedule that you see. So you're not asking for any additional information. You're not asking for us to produce any additional information.
Is there an official name for that?
Excuse me?
Is there an official name for that schedule that you're doing?
In other words, is it a Microsoft license for Microsoft Project?
Oh, it's in Microsoft Project, but we can put it. I would anticipate that we would provide a PDF output of that Microsoft Project schedule.
The only reason I was asking is so Bill could amend his motion to be a little more specific.
I think when you read the motion, it's pretty specific. It says, I move the City Council receive on a quarterly basis a summarized schedule of significant milestones from the Microsoft Project schedule. You know? I mean, you just go to Microsoft Project Schedule and it shows you how to do a PDF of what the milestones are.
No, I understand that.
And it could be one page, or you can do it whatever level of milestone is useful for following it. And a lot of it ends up being helpful to share with the community that, hey, we've just achieved this milestone.
I'm sorry, I didn't see the Microsoft Project Schedule.
I'd like to just say, see the detailed schedule. There aren't that many line items that are current. There are... of what I saw of the detailed schedule. So it's not as if this is not a schedule of what you're used to of probably thousands of line items. The total is 524 going back years. So those that are current, that they're tracking, at least the one I saw, aren't that many. So just getting a copy of the detailed schedule, and I think that's what they call it,
yeah,
so would have the milestones.
It continues to get more and more detailed. So we've added in a number of additional line items as they pertain to the water reclamation facility. Once we go to bid and award a project for the conveyance facilities, that schedule, which is currently a couple of line items, will grow to tens of line items, same with recycled water facilities. But yeah, what you're asking is, again, it's something that we're looking at every single month and, every single week. And it can very easily be provided if City Council wants us to provide that.
Is there an additional cost to provide that?
No, I would say,
terms of time and resources.
I would probably say that we would just include it as an appendix to the quarterly report. So we would refer in the body of the report to the more detailed schedule, and then that would be available.
Would that substitute for this?
I think that, again, that's something that we develop, and it's still something that's important because we are looking at the kind of the SPI, and it kind of rolls up and is created from the detailed analysis that we do. So,
well, if you keep doing it, might make a recommendation.
Sure.
You get rid of all the pre-Eric stuff. The way you've done the other one, I mean, half of this thing is meaningless.
Right? We're trying to get it on an 8.5 by 11 so the seniors on the team can read it without a magnifying glass, ergo.
We can look at condensing. We can look at condensing the schedule like we can condense the cash flow.
Okay. All right. So we have, Bill, I want to make sure, if I'm going to write this, that this is what your motion is. I move that the CFAC and the City Council receive on a quarterly basis a summarized schedule of significant milestones from the Microsoft project schedule used by the WRF project.
I think we just say the detailed schedule. That way it's consistent with what they've got. We're not talking about a different schedule, a different summary. It's not that detailed. And otherwise, we're going to get into another discussion of who means what by milestones. If we literally just get what they're receiving, they're not doing any more work, and we can see it.
Can I make a suggestion? Because I think the motions are confusing at this point, especially for our record keeping. If we could vote on the motion. I think there's a motion on the floor, and you have a first and a second. If we could vote on...
I don't know what that motion... You mean the third one?
Was the second.
Yeah, it was the third one.
You don't have to pass it. If you want to vote on that and then make a motion that's clearer, maybe that would... I think that would help our record.
You're correct. We had a motion and a second that the WRF project stop distributing monthly financial reports and instead only distribute quarterly reports.
Correct. So I would suggest you vote on that. And then
separately, you are correct because this is different. Okay, so that was the motion made by Bill and seconded by Homer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that motion carries 6-0. So that's the second motion of the day, of the meeting.
While we have Eric there, the difference between significant milestones and just detail, what is the term you're using, Bart?
Well, that's what they call it.
Because you get more and more milestones as the program goes on, you're more and more detail.
Yeah, the detailed schedule has, in effect, milestone items. They have roll-up items that you can see. That's why the number of actual line items being tracked isn't that many. So you could literally just go look at all the bold items and get what you want. Or geeks like me could look at the non-bolded items.
Yep, that's essentially, I mean, this is what you see in the body of the report is the most rolled up version of the schedule, which is a 9 or 10 different tasks. Below that, we probably have, 40 milestones. And then in below that, there's a 500 and some odd line items that are embedded in that. So
that's my concern. Are we going to be printing 500 line items on our printers or 40?
No, if we filter out items that are complete prior to this, the 500 goes down to about 150. It goes from 15 pages to 5. Now, they probably added some line items, so that would be added, whatever that's added. But no, they're not, well... Unless they've added a whole bunch of items in the last month, it's not close to 500 that we're talking about. We're talking more like 150, maybe 200 items. And of those, the ones that are near term, were more like 30 to 50.
Can I make a suggestion? Why don't we approve Bill's motion, and this will be attached to our next meeting's report. And if we, since Bart's the only one that's actually seen this thing, and we can look at it and decide what we're talking about. And if we don't like it, we can tell them to stop giving it to us. Next quarterly report, yeah. But next time that we would get this report. Does that make sense to everybody?
That works.
Yeah.
We still need to go to council first to approve bringing back. So just making sure that's clear. Otherwise, you can start assigning us work if you prefer that.
No, that's fair. No, we understand. It's just a recommendation. You move that.
Okay. So I so move the motion.
Yeah. I move the verbiage that's written as mission or motion number one.
Starting at I move.
We don't have that. Could you read it so Tracy has it? Thank you.
I can give you a copy.
We'll give you a copy, but here's what it is. I move that the CFAC and the City Council receive on a quarterly basis a summarized schedule of significant milestones from the Microsoft project schedule used by the WRF project. We will give you a copy of that. All right. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
All right. Bart has seconded that. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, that motion also carries 6-0. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Eric. Oh, I'm sorry, you have more recommendations? Sure.
Well, I just have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Eric, in your quarterly report, you've got a table 10, which goes over the list of change orders.
Yes.
And I wonder if you could just discuss with the committee for your opinion about how this design-build contract works in regards to the maximum guaranteed price, in regards to value engineering that's being applied to the project, and in regards to change orders that have increased the cost of the project.
Sure. It's important to note that the guaranteed maximum price is associated with a very specific scope of items. And so the guaranteed maximum price that was – the original guaranteed maximum price that was included in the contract, the agreement with the design-build team, was kind of the bare minimum that was necessary to meet the intent of the request for proposals. Now, no RFP is perfect, and so as we've gone through and worked with operations staff and our team has looked at it, we continue to find – areas where in some cases we can reduce the cost and eliminate items, and we've identified areas that are not sufficient to meet the city's needs. So that's we're talking about guaranteed maximum price. I understand that some folks may read into that and say, well, that means it'll never go up. True, for the elements that they've identified, and you know they're going to give us three blue cars, then that will not go up. It will always be $67 million to give us those three items. But when we identify that we need a green car also, or those kinds of things, that's where things get a little bit more difficult to interpret. Now, there are performance requirements that are included in the request for proposals. So there's a number of different times, a number of different areas where we've had to have some negotiations with the design build team to say that while not explicitly included in your scope of work, it does say in the performance requirements that your facility will do X, Y, and Z. And we think without this specific element, it won't do X. And so that's where we've had to come and say, okay, well, this needs to be added to the scope of the project without an increase in the guaranteed maximum price. So that's essentially how that process works.
And are most of these things added that are going to be supplementing the efficiency of the project, the operating efficiency of the project?
I would say for the majority of the changes that have been made, looking through the list of items here, we have made some decisions to increase the capital cost in order to reduce the overall operation and maintenance costs or the cost for compliance in the future.
Okay, and is there anything that's being cut now that will have to be added back in the future?
I think the items that we've removed, I do not believe so. We have not removed any significant process-related items.
Okay, so I'm looking at this one monorail item. Mm-hmm. That's typically for the movement of equipment or
yep.
pumps or whatever. So that's not going to be needed for the crew to.
No, that was an item that we discussed a lot as a group, and that was something that in talking with Mr. Miller and his staff, and looking at what the city's current capabilities are for a crane truck, the amount of time that actual crane would be necessary to have it there all the time, some of the nuisance that it would require, or excuse me, some of the nuisance it would add by being there for nesting birds and all these other things, the decision was made that for the times where items need to be removed from that tankage, that the city would rent a crane truck to be able to do that.
Okay. And if this is closed session stuff, ignore my question, but in regards to the land purchase, is that price known now?
We do not have the final appraisal back from the appraiser at this time. We anticipate it in early August.
Okay. And the reports that I had seen was that the city had an option to purchase the property for a fixed price.
So how does the appraisal impact that process?
And I'm looking over here to my right and not seeing Mr. Neumeier, but so I will say that the city has an MOU for, we're speaking specifically for the Tri-W property. The city has an MOU with Tri-W that says that the city has the option to purchase the property at the appraised value based on the results of that appraisal. That's essentially what the MOU says.
Eric, a question on page 3 of the presentation that you had, which, I mean, it's a good summary. I really like it, that your construction contingency has now gone up. So we have a little over $7 million in contingency yet that falls in the $126 million program.
That's correct.
So I think that's pretty healthy. I mean, just the way people can look at some of the numbers, it looks like we're running over and the contingency is gone, but you still have $7 million.
Yeah, and one thing to note, and again, why that went up, part of it was that we had said, okay, we're going to move 2.5 from the contingency bucket into the project budget. We only moved 2. We moved 500,000 back in to the contingency bucket. The other thing that we did is when we increased the cost of the conveyance facilities, that project is not yet in construction, so it's really a design change. And so that carries with it contingency as well. So we said, okay, it's about $1 million in cost for that trenchless crossing. Well, we're going to use the same logic that we've used on the other projects. That $1 million also carries with it a 10% construction contingency. So we've moved about another $100,000 into that contingency bucket for that new element for the conveyance facilities project. So,
speaking of the contingency, I noticed in the very cover section, you mentioned that you anticipate the design build plan by 60% by the end of this month, a
couple
weeks.
Yep.
So since it's so close, do you anticipate any significant change orders?
We are still tracking a change order that was presented to Wharf CAC and Council a couple of months ago. It has to do with the stormwater design for the site. The order magnitude is a couple of $100,000. That's something that we had mentioned previously. It just wasn't ready to be brought to Wharf CAC and Council at the time when we brought the other large grouping. But that's the one that we're currently tracking. We're not currently tracking any other major PCOs at this time. Potential change order, excuse me.
Something I've argued for is having a trend program, which basically, I could not follow. There was like $1 million you threw out that for some more studies that went here and money went there. There was a very detailed list provided to city council relative to change orders. Very itemized. Here they are. Is there a document like that that tracks, for example, when you decided to use a common trench? So you took money out of the injection and put it into the conveyance, I believe, which is why they changed. Is there a document that basically one could look at to see how it went up because of this, down because of this, up because of this, down because of this? Mm-hmm. Like I call that a trend program.
You can call it
anything you want, but something that allows the city council to understand and to track what you just went through, because I don't think they could either. Mm-hmm. If there is that document, could we see that?
We don't have a published document. We have internal project files that we're using that show those different cost estimates and how those cost estimates have changed, but we don't have any program memos that document that change.
So how do you keep track of the evolving budgets and changes? You had a very specific list for the contract. Are you saying you don't have a similar list?
Yeah, we do.
In general?
We do have a list, yeah. So we have the quarterly budget reconciliation that is essentially the record at that quarterly time period, what was in each individual line item and what line items were there to make up the overall budget. So that information exists.
Okay. Well,
we're not publishing that level of information down to the individual task.
Okay. We've got enough that we've already got in 2 years. Maybe we can address that next time. Just one thing, so I understand, the $7.6 million that's identified, if you aggregate numbers identified in the Corollo contract in the past in Phase 3,
mm-hmm.
So you're saying that 7.6 is in the $126 million forecast?
Yeah, so the 7.6...
It's just in different places.
Sure, it's in there. It's just in different places. So the 7.6 was... So just to be clear, our contract, the $7.6 million is an estimate that's included in our scope of work. Our contract is only for $1.9 million. It started
okay,
at
but
less
the forecast
than
$126 million has parsed
everything
out to 7.6.
Yes, it has. It has everything needed to get the project over the finish
okay
line. Every where single is project
where is the roughly $2.6 million worth of city costs, including the $1 million in electricity that's in the budget? Where do I find that?
That's in our internal records. We have all of that information.
Now, which line item? Where are they? I mean, it's somewhere. So if we went into the detail of your forecast, you've got mm-hmm the $2.6 million is there?
Yeah. It's all in there. We manage about, on a monthly basis, we manage about 50 different line items, I believe. We have all of our consultant contracts that we're tracking. And then we're also tracking approximately, I'd say it's probably close to, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 line items from the city between analytical costs, staff time, overhead costs, all those different elements.
Okay.
As legal,
I said, it's very
things
difficult to see that other than trust me, but that's because we can't see it. It's not there. It's not detailed. There's
yeah,
nothing.
We can publish it to any level of detail that's necessary.
Because okay even I asked the question, the answer didn't come back. The $2.6 million, for example, the electricity, which presumably is for startup activities, I would guess for the WRF. Is that what that's for?
I'm not getting the.
That's a big number.
The $2.6 million for electricity. I don't.
No. $1 million for electricity. The city cost, the allocated cost in the budget is, I don't know, 2.6, 2.8, something like that. It's in on the exhibit. And of that, I was surprised to see that much for electricity. But is electricity, since most of that would be the WRF startup, I presume, so electricity used up until you go operational, that charge is basically built into construction costs, which is reasonable. So that's in there?
I'm not exactly following what you're talking about in terms of electricity. We're talking about the project budget. We're not tracking and accounting for the continued O&M costs for the existing facility.
It's not continued. It's basically a startup function. Is those costs associated with startup, like use of electricity, would go in there?
And
I put this in memos to the city at least a month ago. That in the budget, and now some of that would have been in sunk cost at the time. So I realized some of that would have been there.
I think we need to be clear on what our scope of work is here as the committee and the level of detail that council and staff wants us to get into.
I'm going to have to just take a look at this in a little bit more detail and get back to you. I don't know.
That's fine.
If that's for the existing facility or...
That's fine, if you're not familiar.
That's fair.
I'm looking at the timing under this and where it's located. It may be for once the facility goes online.
Best to take it offline
sure
to talk
yeah
to Jennifer for what
sure
it is. But that's what I've been referring to.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Eric, are you, on item 1.2... It has the costs for the WRF conveyance, recycled water, and also it had breaks out construction contingency, but yet the stoplight chart, construction contingency is spread among each of the areas. I know
yes
you can do it either way. I would think it's worth thinking about, would be better to have a separate item that has construction contingency, which I think to see it saying it's $7 million there will help everyone think, hey, there's still some latitude available. But I can see why you don't want to show people what your contingency is in each area. So, I mean, that's a management problem that Scott needs to, and you and the team need to decide what's the best way to show it. But.
Yeah, and that's something that thought about a little bit, which is why I made the distinction between the way that Table 2 is shown and the way that the numbers are shown in Table 3. So on a quarterly basis, so you can see the overall contingency amount. I do think it's important to look at it in terms of project, so we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, and we're stealing money from the conveyance facilities projects to pay for overages on another component. But yeah, we can think about that a little bit in ways to maybe we have a separate line item on the KPIs that can show the total contingency and how that's trending. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
I have a question about cash management.
Oh, go ahead.
It's my understanding that managing the cash for the next year or so is going to be challenging. So my question is, do we want to see a report that maybe in numbers, not a chart, that shows us the source of the revenue and how it's going to be spent on a monthly basis rolling forward for the next 12 months? I'm assuming that's something you're going to be doing internally yourself, right?
Well, so the source of revenue will be existing cash that we have, because both WIFIA and SRF are reimbursement-based. So perhaps what's more useful is how much reimbursement we received from each of those components.
Well, it's just that, you know, it's my understanding that the cash requirements are going to fluctuate significantly when, you know, a major procurement item is purchased. And just I'm assuming that you're going to sit down and really monitor the cash every week to be sure that you have enough to pay next month's bills, I'm assuming, right?
We're going to have to. And
yeah.
I mean, part of what we haven't done any purchase of any investment since March or April. It's been a while. Knowing that we were going to need significant cash. But the other component of that is as we get reimbursements coming in, that frees up cash. You know, it's going
sure.
to be a cycle. So there's going to be a significant monitoring of that going forward.
And is there any, without any extra work, is there any reporting you could provide us that, or do we even want us to know this stuff?
No, I don't. Of course, you can know it. It's your information. It's your community.
I guess it's our money too. Isn't
exactly.
It?
I do think you're going to have to be a little patient and give us time to see how it flows and what we could present to you. That would be useful, though.
Okay.
I'm not sure what kind of even, you know, how we're going to track it internally, but you certainly can have, and maybe it is a percentage of what cash we have on hand, how much we've expensed, and what we received in reimbursements. That might be the information that is most useful to you. The reimbursements are timing, so that's a priority right now for us to do SRF planning loan reimbursements.
So I'm assuming that you're working very closely with the project team about what their plans are, right?
And that's part. We're meeting with our rate consultant tomorrow to kind of go through some of that rate and that cash analysis.
Okay. When is the city going to receive the $5 million SRF grant? Does that have to wait until the loan is finalized?
It's
or is that a separate issue?
It would wait until the loan is finalized. So right now, SRF is a little bit of an interesting process. It typically takes a long time, which is why they've made their own internal policy changes to not hold up projects that are ready to go into construction because they haven't yet received their SRF loan. Because I've got a number of projects from past life that are still stuck in that, kind of in that phase waiting to be funded. So we are anticipating probably about 9 months is, I think 9 months is probably a little bit conservative because we are in a unique position, maybe in a position that's shared by a couple of the other agencies that have been put on the fundable list that are receiving a WIFIA loan, that SRF has gotten a pretty big head start on the review of our environmental package. And by far and away, that is what takes the longest amount of time to get from zero to a signed loan agreement. So we're ahead of the eight ball there in terms of where we are with SRF, but still budgeting about 9 months. And so that grant would not be what I don't know is that the way that the grants are distributed, it's a maximum of $5 million as money is available. And so it behooves you to get in line first and try to get that money, which the city has done everything it can to do that.
I noticed in the report that you've drawn down a little over 200 grand from the SRF planning loan. When do you plan to draw the balance of the 10 million?
So we have 3 weeks off of preparing staff reports and budget reports and before we do year end, and I'm sequestering for a week to get as many of those in as possible. It's literally a matter of staffing capacity, and we've talked about if we need to work with a consultant to do that or not. But we have sufficient items to seek reimbursement for at this point, but it's going back and drawing all the supporting documentation to support that.
When does that loan?
It rolls into the automatic SRF one, so we started to draw on it. It's still open and available. I haven't been told there's a closing for it.
Okay, so I remember initially there was a timeline on when it had to be drawn down.
I mean, if there was, I think we met that by drawing the first request. But it, more importantly, is that it's a low interest rate, so we want to get that cash on hand.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, anything else on item B3? All right. Thank you, folks. Then we will close that, and we will move on to item B4 on our agenda, business item. And that, thank you, Eric. That is discuss the citizen-friendly budget document that this committee has been working on, actually, probably now at least 2 years. And the last time we discussed it, I think, Jennifer, you were going to make a few changes based on some recommendations. So this is the final one. So my question to staff is, I know you have distributed this in the lobby. Have you distributed it anywhere else? Are you getting any? I haven't received any feedback. Is anybody picking these up, commenting on them, anything in any of the surveys you've done?
I'm not sure we've asked specifically in the surveys. It's a good point, though. We could. Mm-hmm. I didn't think to check how many were missing out of City Hall. They're in the lobbies of City Hall, and I believe I put some over in Public Services. I thought I had put it on the website, but I'm not sure I actually got it up there because I couldn't get something that would show a folding thing. So that was my fault on that.
Oh, I found one on the website, but I'm not sure it's this one. That's why I asked you.
Yeah, I meant to put it on our homepage, and I don't think I got it up there. So really this intention was if you want additional changes or format or something, if you want to form a committee to do that, or I know it took quite some time last year to get it approved, so rather streamline that to the extent that we can.
I like the cover page. I like the definitions on the back and the significant projects and our goals. There's also a whole lot of other information, and you know, some of us thought we were maybe approaching overkill here. I just don't know. I haven't gotten any feedback from people, or I haven't seen anything on any of the social media sites. I'm okay with the way it is now. I'm just not sure I would expend any more resources updating it for next year.
If the format that we currently have is what you want to continue with, then it would be easy to just populate it with the new numbers, and I can bring that back to you. If you want something different or in addition or amended, then I think that's the point of this conversation. To what level, and at some point you might need to form a committee to work on that.
Okay.
You can always tweak, but I think it looks really good. I like it a lot myself. I think it's great.
I wouldn't invest any extra effort in just whatever the minimal amount is, considering what appears to be not a lot of interest in reading it.
That was my concern. Dave, Bill, John, any thoughts?
Okay, so we'll populate that and bring it back at our next meeting.
Yeah. Okay. I think more of our effort, obviously, is on the WRF and some of these other reports and that. So if this is simple to update, please do. And if you can, next time you send out a POLCO or one of those surveys, maybe ask, hey, have you, you know, seen this? Is it of any interest? Whatever.
Okay. Well, now that, you know, too, that there will be one earlier in the fiscal year, as staff members go to various community meetings that are convenient to take with you to pass out just for information. So we might get more of them out in the community now.
Okay. Thank you.
So when is the 19-20 budget going to be put out then?
It's available on the website. If you want a printed copy, let me know, and we can print one for you to put in your budget binder.
Yeah, that's we have
almost 600 pages. It's on the city's website.
I'm talking about this item here.
That one will...
The budget in brief.
The budget in brief. If the format is how you want it to exist, then we will populate it and bring it back in August.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. All right, so we'll just see this then on... All right, very good. Thank you all. All right, so we are on number C, Section C, future agenda items. We have a meeting coming up in August. Are there any suggestions? So what we have on the August meeting already is will be the budget in brief. Is there anything else? We won't have a quarterly, or were you planning to present a final budget fiscal year for this year, Jen? Or?
So we won't even have started close at that point, because we don't do that until end of August. Okay. As looking back at what we had on last year's August meeting, and it was approval of minutes, the brief finance update that we usually do. Mm-hmm. We discussed OpenGov. I know there's been some interest in a training on that, and it's been on my list of things to do, so we could potentially try to do something with that. And then the budget brief. Those were the only items last August. We would probably have the investment report done, but we would not have a year-end budget report.
Okay, fair enough. Any thoughts on the OpenGov?
Actually, I wanted to make that a future agenda item. I would like to have us have a training class. But to make it easy, so you don't have to do a lot of them because of the Brown Act issues, assuming that the hardware and technology is available, I'd like to actually hold it here with you standing up in the front of that screen with a pointer and having tables and people sitting there like a classroom, and you would invite not only our committee but every other committee in the city and any other public member that was interested and call it a public workshop and go through and explain how OpenGov, it looks like a great tool, but I can't use it.
So one thing we had looked into and we didn't make much progress on was finding perhaps a room that had computers that you could sit at and work with it while I was demonstrating or whomever was demonstrating. Mm-hmm. Some people learn better by being able to follow along physically. We were going to look at the library and see if they had something available. I'm not sure we could hold our meeting there, though, for recording purposes. Well, but
think about doing it here.
Okay.
You know, simple, easy, and is that an agenda item, or is that just a request?
I don't think I think the request is to have a training, so I don't think it's an agenda item to discuss.
I
think
agree.
Everybody agrees if we're going to continue to have OpenGov.
And have a lot of people.
That I can't force to happen, but we can certainly advertise.
Well, that's my concern, too. And if you can have a room with computers as opposed to this, I'm sorry, outdated technology where half the people can't read the screen anyways.
What about the high school?
Yeah, their new training
center. For $170 million, it ought to be something
over there,
right?
For, maybe we could...
we'll explore alternative sites and let the committee know if we find
that's
something
fair.
That will work.
It's not a future agenda item, I believe. It's just a reasonable request. And the sooner we get the request in, sooner we can make it happen.
The second future agenda item I have is I'd like to have a discussion about starting our meetings at 3 instead of 3:30. This meeting is over early, but the other meetings we've bumped up against the commission. And since now there's 7 members that are all relatively engaged, I think it's going to be, as we're going forward, I think we're always going to be pushing right up against the 5:45 cutoff time. And again, I just want to make it a future agenda item, with the idea being that we could discuss it next month. And
well, give people time to think
about it,
and
then we can talk about the meeting. That's all.
Right. And I do know we have some working people, and that may be an issue, but maybe we work around that. I still want a representative group on here, not just retired, but working. We had college students in the past, so however it works. But I think that's a reasonable request just to put it on the agenda item so people have time to think about it, and then we'll make a motion next meeting.
Yeah, the other reality is whatever time we start, continue to run right up until the end, so it's good to force shorter meetings, and then the staff would have to come earlier and we'll work until 5:45 anyway. But so I'm in favor of keeping meetings short as best we can.
Sounds like you just need to see if you have consensus to have the discussion in August.
Yeah, just a discussion.
Yeah. We may not agree. You may not agree. You may come back and say, hey, we've looked at it. We can't do it. You know.
And I've got a third item. This is going to be a lot more confidential. I had an occasion to look over some of the documents that we've presented over the last 6 months, and one of them was the thing I read before about the harbor and not having any money. The other documents that I noticed were out of our financial audit, the very end of the audit in the statistical section, where there's all kinds of interesting information. I think you're all familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed was that the Embarcadero retailers, their taxes, sales taxes, and this is from page 161, increased 25.3% over the five-year span, last 5 years. The harbor lease revenue increased over only 5% over that same period of time. And there could be a number of reasons for that. And since the harbor apparently needs money desperately, one of those reasons, and there's just a number of reasons why that could be that way. And so I would like for a future meeting to have the finance department and the harbor department make a presentation on how the harbor leases are audited financially.
I can tell you now without that being an agendized item.
Well, I was hoping to get Mr. Endersby here to explain and have it a public meeting.
We aren't currently actively auditing them, though, so there's not much of a presentation. We've had conversations about doing that. We've even spoken to a couple people about potentially hiring them to come in and do that, but we don't have any activity in auditing on them right now.
Well, the fact that all of those leases now, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Collins can correct me, but I believe they're all on a percentage of sales basis.
There might be a few left.
There's a few.
Okay, so 95% are on a percentage of sales basis. So if the sales tax, the people that are reporting their sales taxes to Sacramento are reporting at 25% over a five-year period, but they're reporting only a 5% increase in sales to the Harbor Department, their difference of five times to me is significant. And I'm not suggesting that we might have some businesses that are underreporting, but I don't know. I mean, just a discussion about how the auditing is going to happen and when it's going to happen. And I can, Mr. Collins looks like he's going to comment.
Yes. City Council has directed the harbor director to work with an ad hoc committee of leaseholders, chamber of commerce folks, and a number of other folks to review the policies that determine kind of how the leases are handled. And I imagine through that conversation will come implementation. And how do we implement those and how do we audit? And so I think this will be a natural iteration that will go through not this committee but the HAB, the Harbor Advisory Board, probably be the more natural fit for that discussion. Of course, council can receive the report and direct it back to CFAC should they see fit, but I think that appropriately belongs under the HAB purview.
Well, I knew about the work that's being done on a new harbor policy. I just thought this was such a little teeny slice of that, and it is finance related,
right,
that it might be something that we could take out. I did speak with several of the businesses down there, and they do send the state of California every month a form to report their sales tax. And what happens if they send a copy of that to the Harvard Department? That would be a pretty simple audit.
They were budgeted to do audits in 18-19. They had money in their budget to do audits through. We don't have, as simple as it may be, I mean, we're struggling to get reimbursements in for our loans, which is more significant. So we really have no capacity at this point to do that. So we were looking at some kind of outside help to assist with that. It's a matter of finding somebody to do that or finding capacity in-house.
So this is another one of Homer's Down in Flames deals, right?
Not Down in Flames.
No, Down in Flames.
It's actively being discussed between Eric and I, and we believe through the ad hoc committee that will be, again, that will come forward. It's great to have these excellent policies, but if you can't implement them, they're worthless. And so that the second part of that discussion will be, how do you staff that? How do you resource that important function of auditing? Not only the financial reports, but the physical assets themselves, which have, in some respects, lapsed. That is a function of our resource capabilities at this time. But if we look at the revenue side, maybe there can be a way to work that out to make it financially viable.
Okay. And, you know, Homer or any of us can go to the Harbor Advisory Board and be aware that that's being looked at. And if we have other suggestions, we can make that.
I would like to add on the agenda that we have a discussion about the commitments in prior to 18. I'm familiar with the 2015 to 18 and what I believe were some statutory commitments made there. I may be wrong, but I have my opinions. And then I was told by my colleague here that there was a 2009 to 18. So if there was, I would be very interested in seeing what that was to see if we're in compliance with whatever we committed to then to the ratepayers when we asked them to, I never know what the words are, approving the 218 or not voting against it, whatever it is. But I would like to have a discussion. I understand it was taken off this agenda because it wasn't specifically there, but I think it pertains to the way the monies are being used. And so anyway, I would like to see that. And if I need more embellishment on why I think that's important, I can provide that. So, do I need more? Was I pretty clear on what my concern was?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the committee has to buy consensus.
Whether we agree to put it on, was my concern clear? If not, I can embellish.
If it's on the agenda, we'll go back and make sure we get the essence of what the whole committee
I'd like to see that the 218 commitments prior to 18, and I know there was a 2015, and Homer said there was a 2009, so if we could get that one also, that would be great.
Any other comments?
No, I think that's a good idea.
Are you just looking for a list of the commitments other than we're going to build a new wastewater plant?
Yeah, I don't fully understand this. And the direction we received from council when the WRF financing was transferred from WRFCAC to CFAC was that we were not going backwards, and that's been made clear to me even more recently from council members. So I'm not supportive in general of going back over things from 2009. It was in the rates. I know how detailed that is and how costly and time-consuming I believe that would be. Maybe not. Now, I heard at the last council meeting, I think Scott said that there was something already done and that information was going to be provided. So
okay.
Why is every board here going to keep going
back? More specifically, I'll say, in 2015, the commitment was, or the request was made to have rates be developed specifically for a $75 million plant and for $14 million worth of enhancements to be paid for out of cash flow. In that document, it says very specifically, funds shall be used for what they were identified for. I have concerns that we're not doing that. Recently, the city of San Francisco, the school district, got caught through a grand jury of using capital funds for maintenance or the other way around. I'm concerned that that's what's happened here, that we're taking money that was specifically collected per the worksheets of Bartle Wells to repair pipelines, and that money was collected
It wasn't, the work was not done, and now that money to repair pipelines is being used to reduce the cost of the new facility. That's what my concern is. And I'm reading it pretty directly. I'm not interpreting. That's literally what the document says, in my opinion.
I believe it's a good, it's certainly a good agenda item to have to go talk about and make sure we don't have any legal concerns. Are we executing the Prop 18, 218 from 2015 properly? You know, by moving some of those funds, we're going to do the work, we're just going to do it later. Is there a problem legally just to convince ourselves? Because I think the Cal and other groups probably are using that. I've heard it from other places.
I've spent an awful lot of time at looking at the 2015 rate increase. And keep in mind, there was no engineering study available at the time that was prepared. And Mr. Leibich can correct me, but I think he said this in public more than once, that some of the items in that report were estimates, or as Mr. Brannon would say, wild-ass guesses. But there are some items in that are absolutely still on the books and are going to be, or budgeted to be completed, and hopefully have gotten started since I found a memorandum from Mr. Collins or Mr. Leibich, I can't remember which one, in the February mid-budget report, talking about 2019 mid-year capital improvement adjustments. And the Nutmeg tank is, if I'm not mistaken, is the engineering is supposed to be started, as an example of something that was in the 215 thing, you know. And I know that the main lines on Main Street are very definitely in the pipeline to be done. Hopefully the engineering started, Mr. Leibich. Maybe? Yes?
The five-year CIP includes completing those projects in the five-year time period. This year we'll focus on pre-design and working in design. Okay? And no, we're not concerned about the legal jeopardy of how things were phrased for the Prop 218 in 2009, 2015, 2018.
And if this is anything that would add to the workload that Jennifer and her staff are facing during this audit season, I would say we shouldn't go there.
I agree with John. Not at this time. I want to get these quarterly reports and everything else we have to do done before we start going back to, you know, what was promised in 2009 and back and forth. Do you have something in response to the city council item that was going to be published that we could maybe?
Yes, I think we were referring to, it was more on the accumulation funds, though, and where that money went. But there is a document that we sent out about a year ago on that.
Mm-hmm. Start with that. I know. All right. So I'm not in favor of putting it on the agenda, I don't think. Who is in favor? Obviously, Bart is.
Well, it just seems like it's a pretty cut and dry, as Scott said. If it's on the agenda, we could just put it, and the CFAC agrees that we're in total legal compliance with the 2015-218 because the work is planned and the designs have started. So that gets put to bed pretty easily. Is it that easy to say that?
This question's been answered numerous times. So if this board wants to put it on the agenda, do it. The chair said, the city council provided direction for this committee to review the wharf project moving forward, not looking back.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Thanks.